If you took the faith that you feel when you feel good in God and took it with you everywhere that you went for 7 days, this is my challenge to you. If you took the faith that you felt in when you were being faithful to feel His power, being faithful to receive more of His Spirit, when you are feeling that, it's trying to bring your faith to life. And as it brings it to life, He's wanting you to what? Walk with it. You know what that means? He wants you to walk up to things that you don't have and walk like you already have it. He wants you to walk in the face of adversity and walk like there's nothing to bother you. I know that sounds crazy, right? Lord, how can I walk in the face of trouble and still have peace? The only way is by faith. Faith is not feelings, and feelings are not faith. And faith will save you when your feelings will abandon you. Faith will keep you consistent when your body is aching and is tired and is fatigued. Faith brings to life what is not already alive. So you know, when I come in and enjoy myself, I don't have any special regiment that I do other than what the Word of God tells us to do. He told us to walk in peace. He told us to walk bringing peace. He told us to be ambassadors of peace. He said, peace be with you. He wanted it to be inside of you. But we cannot be at peace with life until we're faithful to trust that God can take care of the things that are bigger than we are. I'm here to tell you that for 10 years of my life, I struggled with very severe depression. And I don't say struggle lightly. Don't take it like you watch the news and just hear something and let it go through one ear. And I'm talking about struggled. I'm talking about one day I'd be in a perfectly good mood, and then the next day I felt like that my life was being pulled from me and that life wasn't worth living. 10 years I went through this. And I'm here to tell you and preach to you just for a minute that it was 10 years too long. Because when I finally realized of what was the inside of me that God had given me, I realized that I could walk with the faith that He'd given me to know that even though the enemy would tell me to be sad, I don't have to be. Even though the enemy would cause me to think low of myself, I don't have to think that way. And I'm here to tell you that there's some of us tonight that are in that struggle. And I know it feels good to be in His presence, but sometimes when you're going through a real thing, there's nothing anybody can say or do that's going to help you get through it. There's some times in your life that it can only come by the hand of God that it'll bring true deliverance and freedom for you. I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm probably 9 years delivered from drugs now, and I'm happy to say that every day that I keep away from it, it is not just because I run fast enough. I finally took a stand in my faith and said, God, I know and believe that You have delivered me, and I'm faithful to believe that You can keep me delivered every single day. So that means in spite of your numbers, Friday we didn't have as many as we have tonight, but I'm here to tell you, we had church anyway. God is not contingent on quantity. Quantity is a figure represented by man. God did not use quantity to prove faith. He used quality to prove faith. When there were thousands amongst thousands, He weeded down an army down to just 200 people to go and fight the fight. Because sometimes you can have all the numbers that you want and not make a hill of beans of a difference to anybody. We could fill this place up, pack it from the front to the back, put them in here, and then get a camera on and put it on WLAF and let everybody see. But if we're not going to walk by faith, then we're being ineffective. We must learn to walk with this. Look over at somebody and say, get your walking shoes on. Because when we go out of here, we're going to pray over this tonight. And I'm challenging you. I'm not challenging you for a year. I'm challenging you for the next 7 days of your life to walk with faith. When you would want to get upset, don't be weary. Be faithful. I'm here to tell you, the first few times that you try to replace your flesh with faith, it's going to be hard. You know why? You'll still want to get mad. You'll still want to be justified. You'll still want to reserve the right just to sit back and let somebody else deal with it. But you know what? Faith will come to you and save you even when you won't even be willing to save yourself. It saved me in a time of great peril. It has not abandoned me yet. It's not easy to walk by faith because you know what? You're not able to see it. Humor me for 10 seconds and just cover your eyes tonight. Now, if you've got your eyes covered and you're legitimately not looking, you wouldn't know if I was right in front of you, would you? You wouldn't know if I was right in front of you. But if you believe that you are protected, then you're not going to worry about what may be in front of you. God does not want you to live in fear. I have grown up, I had a grandmother that was afraid to sleep by herself at home. Afraid. Great anxiety. Worry. Didn't want to be by herself. But I'm here to tell you, we are not supposed to live in fear. Because of the salvation I have today, I'm able to lay my head down at night. And if I have everything that I had when I lay down and I get up tomorrow, I'll be satisfied. But guess what? If I get up tomorrow and something's different, more tough, more difficult, I'm still at peace. Because that's what faith does in our lives. It takes our attitudes and changes our negative behavior and begins to cause us to present a positive perspective when other people can't see it. Now, when the 12 spies were sent to the camp, I'm here to tell you that when they looked at the camp, they saw the same amount of enemies. The two that came back positive saw the same landscape. They didn't have any great big vision. They didn't have any great big epitome. There was no difference in what they went and beheld on that land. But what was different in what they came back with was what they were walking in. They had a different kind of attitude. When others would abandon the notion that God was going to help them through this, they did not let go of it. So if you have ever been blessed before, when you go to look at something that everybody else says there's no hope in it, you better come back with a little bit more positive attitude than what other people would have. There's been people that have not caught good breaks, but I'm here to tell you, even though you may have not caught good breaks, you're still a blessed child of God. And if you're a blessed child of God, you ought to walk with a little bit better attitude than what the world would say. He said that he would have us to be different than the world, to be separate than the world. That means to have a different attitude, a different outlook, a different perspective, a different kind of encouragement, a different way to achieve your joy. So if we're trying to accomplish our joy the way the world does, we're not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. And let me tell you, when you walk by sight, you are providing for your flesh. We preached on this Friday. We don't need to provide for our failure. We need to provide for our victory. We must learn to feed our victory by believing by faith that victory is coming. So I don't see everything that I want just yet. I've not looked on the landscape and had some epitome. But I walk with something that causes me to see what others would see as no hope. And I'm able to say, I know that the God I serve, if he has been with me in times past, that he will not leave me in a time I feel the power of God. He will not leave me in a time of trouble. Friends, when all others would feel abandoned, when your own children would come to discourage you, don't let your heart be troubled. He said to believe in God. He said to believe also in him, for in his house are many mansions. He also said that there are riches in glory that are for you. He said there was a storehouse. So you don't have to look at Walmart and say, I can only get what I can afford with what I'm walking in by sight.
tonight, you've got to look at the storehouse in glory and say, I've got far more than what the world has for me. You've got to stop walking to the hospital and thinking that what they tell you is the only way through this. They may speak things to discourage you. They may say things that tell you that you have something. But let me tell you, God's not into labels. Because when there were lepers, he sent people to heal them. When there were people that were blind, he sent people that their eyes would be restored. When people labeled others as dead, when they said Lazarus was too far gone, he sent somebody there to bring him out and say, Lazarus, come forth. Because he wasn't talking in his flesh by sight to a body in a cave. He was talking by faith to the thing to which he knew should come if he would speak it. Oh, I will to God that once you leave out of here tonight, that you would get down and try with all that is in you to speak those things that are not as though they are. I dare you to get down and pray and only speak by faith. Lord, you see, I don't have this blessing, this financial move. I'm not sure of my decision. I'm not sure what I am to do. When we start wondering, it's a dangerous pitfall. God wants you to learn to speak positively first, that doubt and unbelief will be rebuked out of you. We cannot accomplish mountain-moving miracles with wavering faith. The one thing that has to be constant in a Christian is what? Their faith. There are people that I encounter all the time that even tell me they get so low they don't even know if they're saved or not. That's a scary place to be. So I'm here to tell you what God gives you. He don't mess it up. The only time that we ever feel like we've lost something is if we don't see the value in what we have. If he saved you, he saved you. And if he's blessed you, he's blessed you. There's no escaping the fact that he is good to us. But when we want to live in doubt and unbelief, I'm telling you, you are losing your vision in the spirit. And you'll go from even being able to believe that it's possible, and somebody's here right now, to not even being able to see it by faith anymore. But I'm here to tell you, church, the word told us that without a vision, people would perish. And if you lose the vision of your faith, there is nothing else that you can do that'll cause you to be at peace more than holding on to your faith. Let me tell you what the Spirit of God does. It brings to life faith in the presence of unbelief. It brings hope to what would seemingly be hopeless. And I'm telling you, I suffered 10 years too long with depression because when I finally believed by faith that I was free, not another day I walked in that torment. I'm here to tell you that the devil does come to attack me. He comes and puts dreams in my mind when I sleep at night to try to bother me. He comes and reminds me of the past that I lived, trying to tell me that I'm not worthy to stand where I'm standing now. I'm attacked and bombarded on every side. I have people that I run into that knew me as I was then and remind me of the person that I was then. But I know that I am, as we preached already, a new creature, and that which I was is no longer there. That which is in me now is Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus Christ made room for in me? Faith. I had faith to be saved, but when he came, he made room. When I couldn't see a solution, the Spirit brought faith. And as the Spirit has brought faith, it's caused me to see everything in a totally different way. There are things right now that we are, me and my wife, we are in ever-present persecution with. There are things that we need moved. There are things we needed changed. And if me and her get in a conversation about something too long without putting faith in it, I'm here to tell you that both of you will be discouraged after a while. That's the reality. But he said when one would be weak, that he would have the other to be strong. And some of you tonight, maybe if we were in a different place and having a conversation about something that you were standing in the gap for, maybe by the time you get through talking about it, you almost talk yourself out of even thinking there's a way out of it. But I'm here to tell you, as the Spirit gave me this word for you, That you are to walk by faith and not by sight. And you are not to be betrayed by your feelings or what you cannot see with your eyes. Because faith is moving the supernatural part of you. Faith has caused people that have had cancer to move through it and be able to endure it and be healed from it. Faith has caused people that were bound by methamphetamine and heroin and drugs that were beyond their control to be delivered. Somebody ought to say amen on that one. There are people in this place tonight that without the hand of God in their life, who knows where we'd be? We may not even be here again. But God has saw fit for us to be here, to be blessed and highly favored, and all that He would have us to do is to walk by faith. Let me read one more scripture to you. I'm just here to confirm God's already been speaking. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Then He said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. You know what that's saying? Things are going to happen. But woe unto somebody that actually makes it happen. Verse 2, if it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles of the Lord made this plea. They said, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Amen. Let me read this to you tonight. The disciples' request was genuine. They wanted the kind of faith that would not cause other believers to falter. They desired a kind of faith that would enable them to have a forgiving spirit toward those that had wronged them for being necessary for such radical forgiveness. That means if somebody directly offended you, that you would no less even hold anything against them and just drop it like it never even happened. That was the kind of love that God wanted us to walk in. And they were wanting their faith to be increased, that they would be able to handle people out in the ministry. But Jesus' answer is more of a description of what faith is than it is how to increase it. Pay attention tonight. Faith is complete and humble obedience to God's will. Readiness to do whatever He calls us to do. And using the imagery of a mustard seed, He focuses on the possibility of true faith. A mustard seed is small, but it is alive and growing. And like a tiny seed, genuine faith in God will take root and grow. Great things can be accomplished when even a little faith, when that faith is in a godly direction. So, when I see myself in the time of trouble, I still know I have faith. When I see myself in desperation, I still know I have faith. And if I can take just a little bit of faith and be genuine with it, He can begin to multiply that faith to not only conquer what is present before me, but also to conquer the things that are out and things I don't even know are coming. Because in our feeble minds, you know what? We can only see and be desirous of what we can feel like we can achieve. So we're praying for this thing to be done because it needs to be done. But there's so much more to be done than just what needs to be done in the moment. So God is trying to get our attention through the words He's speaking to His people and saying, it's time to wake up and walk with something that is genuine. Or in another way to say that, it's time to be for real and not for fake. You cannot move mountains with counterfeit faith. You cannot pretend like you believe God's able in front of all your church mates and then go all week long and doubt God and expect the mountain to even move an inch. Your faith must begin to be the one constant about you. I don't want to be well known for being a good musician. I don't want to be well known for being a good preacher. I don't want to be well known by things that would have me as a title as a human being. What I want to be known for as an individual is the faith that is inside of me, that if someone would agree with me, we would begin to move mountains. I would will to God that we would learn that it is not about us. It's not about just the works that we do. It's not just about having our fanny on the pew that makes a difference. It's about having a real, genuine faith that when we come in and agree together, we'll believe that when we lay on of hands, that the sick can recover. That when we lay on of hands to those that are in bondage, that we can see people delivered. It is time to step out of counterfeit faith and to step in to a genuine faith with God. And that means when it hurts, you still got to believe that He's able to do it. That means when everybody else would see a landscape and say, we cannot take this land, the giants are too big, we're not able to do it, that the faith inside of you would say that we're more than able to conquer this thing. We're more than able to go after what God has already promised us. You know, something that just occurred to me, when they came back and said they were well able to conquer it, it had already been promised. Oh, my Lord, help me preach tonight. God has already wrote in His Word about the promises of things that He will do for you. So if God has promised you that He'll never leave or forsake you, then you ought to have enough faith inside of you to know that you're never alone. My Lord and my God, if He promised you that through the stripes of Christ that you're healed, then you ought to have enough umption in your gumption to stand up and proclaim your healing and stop doubting when the doctors would tell you that there's no hope, that you'd begin to have genuine faith to believe that God is able. And I'm here to tell you, as you walk in righteousness, as you are faithful, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to move mountains in the flesh to move mountains supernaturally. He said that if you would be faithful over a few things, and those things I see as things that we handle every day, if we can be faithful to be kind, nice, respectful, loving and compassionate, walking in the fruits of the Spirit that are obvious to a person who's walking in the Spirit, if we choose to walk in this, then when we would ask anything in His name, He said that it would be ours. So God's teaching me some new things. He's already blessed amazingly out of what little faith that I've been able to be genuine with. But you know what? We're just beginning to scratch the surface on what God really wants to do. You know what He would have His church to be? A house of prayer. You know what He would have you to be doing? Walking by faith. And you know what He would want people that are broken to have? Freedom. Freedom. He wants people that are lost to be saved. But if we're judging it with our eyes, or if we're too tired to operate in the gifts that God has given us, then when it's time to move by faith, faith will not move mountains, and people go back out in the same shape that they're in. I'm here to tell you, there are churches out there that have consistent attendance. They have consistent tithing. They have consistent singing. And if people go, they enjoy it for a little while. But then when it comes time to really help somebody that causes one an inconvenience in your time, an inconvenience in your resources, or even an inconvenience in your personal life, when it becomes to be too inconvenient for us, you'll find that we are more concerned for our flesh than we are our faith. And when we are faithful to be to the Lord, He said He would be faithful to us. But it also said that if we were going to be ashamed of Him, that it also said He would what? Be ashamed of us. We cannot be ambassadors of counterfeit faith. We cannot tell people to go to a source of help to which we do never go. If we can't even believe for our healing, friend, don't be number one in line to lay on of hands for healing. If we can't believe for deliverance, that He can deliver us out of our own troubles, friend, don't be number one in line to say in the name of Jesus. You've got to learn to walk with faith over some things in your life to let God give you peace and deliverance over them. Because here's the deal. The shield of faith in its representation is what? It's there to protect us. When things would come to make us doubt, when fiery darts would come to penetrate inside of our spirit, it's hard when you get a fiery dart inside of you. It's hard. How many of you has ever been stung real good before? I think one of the worst things I ever had is when I sat on a wasp. And let me tell you, when you sit on one, you know that you've sat on one. You don't have to wonder, I wonder if I've been stung. You know that you have been stung. That was one of those that the stinger went so far deep, there was just no hope. You just had to live with it. And let me tell you what counterfeit faith does. When it comes time for things to happen, and you waver in your belief, one day you believe it's able to happen, another day you're not. When you are unwavering, when you move, when you're tossed to and fro, when it comes time for something to happen, guess what? We don't see anything. And I'm going to share this testimony about this, and then I'm going to come to a close. There was a time in my life where I had abandoned everyone I knew, all the ones I loved, my wife included. And I tried to seclude myself and do everything I knew to do with substance abuse, trying to just melt the pain away, push the pain off, put it off, try to make myself somebody that I didn't have to worry about all the things I'd done, all the people I had hurt, all the things I was walking away from. I was running away from responsibility, running away from being a respectful individual, was walking into a lifestyle that was going to destroy me, no less. But I had people that loved me, that prayed for me. And here's the amazing thing about it. They didn't know where I was. Come on, somebody. They didn't see my location. They didn't have Find My iPhone to track me down. I didn't know where I was, let alone them even knowing where I was. I was here and there and everywhere. But something inside of my wife and some of her family, they began to fast and pray for me. Now, most of us think that we can only have church when we come to church. But I'm here to tell you, when they were moving mountains, they were in a living room. We don't want to talk, don't get me started on we ought to be having church more at home than here. That'll be another sermon. But they prayed without seeing me, claiming that I was free. I only know this because they've told me about it. Believing that God was able to deliver me. And I remember one of the last days that I was, I guess, in dire straits. I don't give glory to stuff. I don't say what it was. I don't say when it was, who it was with, because there's no glory there. But all I know is that I was knocking on death's door with what I had done. And I don't know if they were praying for me in that moment or not. I don't know. But I know that that night, something inside of me went from feeling like there was nobody to something speaking to me to saying, well, if I can just get to church, maybe I'll get help. And I'm here to tell you that that kind of faith is genuine. That is not counterfeit. That is not being a hypocrite and just showing out and never trying. That was real faith. And I believe with all that is in me, that when that mountain would have never been moved, faith moved it. And I'm here tonight. You can take it for granted. You can take it lightly because you don't know me or have a personal relationship with me. But I'm here to tell you, I would not be alive if faith had not moved for me. So you can take that as you want it, but it means the world to me. And it has taught me that even though I cannot see when I want people to be saved, and I can't see that they're coming out of their bondage, that that does not mean that God is still no less moving when I petition before Him by faith. So you might not come for any other reason but to stand in the gap for your loved ones. But I'm here to tell you, if your faith is genuine and your heart is true before God, then you're making a difference even when you can't even see how God is doing it. If you'll come in and be genuine, God's going to begin to shake up the very very foundation. If they were able to pray for Paul and Silas in prison and cause the very jail to be ate up by an earthquake, then surely I know that if we'll be genuine in what we do here, we don't have to give up on Campbell County. We don't have to give up on being a church that will make a difference.